Getting tough on drugs has been tough. It's also been politically popular.
I have one goal, one objective, and that is to stop the pushing of drugs and to protect the innocent victim.
The voice there of the governor of New York, Nelson Rockefeller, 40 years ago, enacting what became known as the Rockefeller drug laws, mandating prison sentences of at least 15 years to life for convictions on possession of 4 or more ounces of cocaine or heroin. The Rockefeller Initiative was picked up as a national political tough-on-crime movement that President Richard Nixon eventually gave a name to.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one in the United States, the problem of dangerous drugs.
This war on drugs produced considerable collateral damage, especially within the African-American community, which bore the brunt of the war on drugs policies and had little in the way of resources to fight back in the face of dramatic increases in incarceration rates that decimated families and neighborhoods. Carl Hart is an associate professor of psychology and a research fellow at the Institute for Research in African-American Studies at Columbia University. He's the author of the forthcoming book, High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery That Challenges Everything You Know About Drugs and Society. Hart says the myths about drugs in the black community come from political leaders and academic leaders, both black and white. Carl Hart, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So, no scientific basis for the claim that there is a drug problem in the African American community. As you see it, the poverty problem is much bigger. Focusing exclusively on the drugs led to very destructive policy decisions.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we have known, scientists have known, that drugs do not uniquely affect black people, for example. We've known this for some time. We are not predisposed or addicted at higher rates than anyone else. We don't sell drugs at rates higher than anyone else. But yet, the consequences of these policies impact us disproportionately. And high unemployment rate, poverty, a wide range of things are far more problematic than drugs. But drugs are easy targets.
So to equate drugs as the problem in the African American community, or to equate black literacy, English literacy as a problem, means that the policies are going to be totally focused on drugs or totally focused on literacy, and some of these other questions are going to get left behind.
Absolutely. That's my major point. It's that if you focus completely on drugs, there are all kind of issues that we do not focus on.
But the incarceration rate as a result of the drug policies supported by blacks and whites, Republicans and Democrats, has had a huge impact on the community.
That's absolutely right. And we know that this incarceration rate really took off in the late 1980s to early 1990s. And it's a direct result of the war on drugs, because more than half of those folks are there because drug charges.
You know, in this month where there's lots of talk, often loose talk, about Dr. King and Malcolm X and other African-American leaders, I'm wondering if you would say that, historically speaking, those two individuals were sharp critics of capitalism, sharp critics of economic inequality in the United States and the way that governance perpetuates economic inequality. Do you think African-American leaders and others, liberals for that matter, lost the opportunity somewhere in the 80s to focus on economic inequality as a way of empowering African-Americans and instead grabbed onto these more simplistic ideas of drugs, et cetera?
Absolutely. When we think about the number of black businesses that used to be around, I was listening to Dr. King's speech, his last speech, the Mountaintop one in Memphis, and he was urging the audience, for example, to make sure that you support black insurance companies there in Memphis. And at the time, he said there were about 6 or 7. Right now, there are none. Black businesses are the ones who primarily hire black employees. And without these businesses, it seems as though the opportunities are far fewer. When you go and look at the data and what I just said, you will find that it's absolutely right.
And the data on drugs simply doesn't support the efforts within the African-American community to equate empowerment with eradication of drugs.
Absolutely. That's just, I mean, I know this is hard for people to take. I've been studying drugs for 22 years. I started studying drugs in part because I wanted to make sure that I did my part to solve the drug addiction problem. After 20-some-odd years of studying drugs, I have come to the realization, based on the data, that drug addiction is not our problem. Drug policy is our problem. And drugs should be looked at in a similar way that we look at, driving cars. They can be potentially dangerous, and we have laws and restrictions to make sure that we can enhance their safety. But we certainly are not giving people criminal records for driving too fast, for getting in an accident, like we are with drugs. And so I'm suggesting that we should treat drugs just like we treat other potentially dangerous activities in our society.
Does that mean legalization?
It's not legal to drive your car too fast. That doesn't mean legalization, but it certainly means that you should think about decriminalization. That means when there are infractions, you don't give people a criminal record. But they do. There are consequences to those infractions.
What do you make of President Obama and his approach to either the black community or the idea of drugs?
That's a complicated question because on the one hand, in 2010, we had reform regarding the crack powder legislation. So crack cocaine was treated 100 times more harshly than powder cocaine before 2010. Now, as of 2010, President Obama signed legislation to decrease that disparity from 100 to 1 to 18 to 1. The scientific evidence suggests that it should be 1 to 1. It would be like treating people who smoke marijuana 18 times more harshly than those who use marijuana in their brownies. It's exactly the same. So I would have liked this administration absolutely to focus more on drugs. And also I would have liked the administration to come out more so, and so we can get rid of this sort of belief that there's a war on drugs. When you do that sort of thing, you create an environment in which police officers, for example, the society, for example, feel like they have to go out the drugs at any cost. And oftentimes those costs are bared by the black community and other minority communities. Without that sort of atmosphere, we don't get Trayvon Martin. We don't get Romarley Graham. Romarley Graham is the kid who was killed in the Bronx. You don't get these types of killing. And so, yes, I would like the administration as well as the country to rethink and come out strongly against this sort of view that drugs are so evil we have to go after them at any cost to certain groups.
Carl Hart is an associate professor of psychology and a research fellow at the Institute for Research in African American Studies at Columbia University, author of the forthcoming book, High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery that Challenges Everything You Know About Drugs and Society. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.